spoken with him many times over the past few years about different Australian acts, BGs being one of them, and of course Skyhook's also being a part of his repertoire. Jeff Apter is an author who just knows the inside story of Australian rock and roll, and he joins us this morning. Jeff, good morning. Welcome.
Wilco, Ali, good morning. Good to be back.
Yes, absolutely it is, and we are absolutely so excited to have you. As Bilko mentioned, you're the author of more than 25 music biographies, many of them bestsellers. So I guess with 25 music biographies, there would be 25 dedications at the start of the book. And this one for this book about Bon Scott has totally intrigued me, and I just loved it as soon as I read it. The dedication in this book says, "This one's for me." Please explain. Now,
selfish so-and-so.
In the words of Pauline Hanson, now, please explain.
Now, Ali, look, as much work goes into the dedication as does the actual writing of the book. You have to understand that.
Yep.
You know, it's a very important part of the process.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've dedicated books to my kids and to my parents, may they rest in peace, you know, a whole bunch of people. And I thought, you know, the only person, I think I gave one to the dog once, you know, and I'm thinking, hang on, I think I've overlooked that one person in my life who, you know, it means a bit to me. And also, I decided, yeah, what the hell. And when I did that, my publisher rang me and she said, "I've never seen that before in all my career." And I'm thinking, that's really odd, because I know that writers are the most selfish people on earth. And maybe they're all just hiding it, you know. So I thought, it's sort of like me coming out, Ali. I'll come clean, you know. I wanted to dedicate it to myself, maybe because I wanted to channel a little bit of Bon just to see what it was like for
Why wouldn't you want him?
Yeah.
He's just the most incredible rocker out there. The book's called Bad Boy Boogie. It's out as of this week, and you've got to tell me, there's so many great stories in there about Bon. You've got to get straight to the nitty-gritty about this, Jeff. There's a story about Bon and a fortune teller. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, well, that was quite spooky, actually. You know, essentially, I think it was a few years before he died, and, you know, you said you're going to, you know, the life you live will be a fast one, but it won't be a long one, basically. Look, actually, can I tell you my favourite Bon story?
Yes, please do.
Now, I did a book a few years ago. I helped Mark Evans. Mark Evans was the bass player during the Bon Scott era.
Yeah, that's right.
AC/DC, great guy, terrific book called Dirty Deeds, and I helped him write that. He lived it, and I helped him write it, I think is the best way to describe it. And he told me this great story. When they came back to Australia, they'd been in the UK for a while, they came back to do a tour called The Giant Dose of Rock and Roll, which I thought was a very Bon Scott kind of name, right? So they're back in Australia, and every tour, you've got to put together a tour program. You know, it's going to have pictures of the band, it's going to have, typically, they have a Q&A, you know, your favourite colour, your favourite song, you know, all those kind of simple things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sold at the shows. So Bon had somehow commandeered the Q&A that was meant for Mark. And one of the questions was, if I had a lot of money, I would like to ...
Right.
And Bon filled in Mark's answer, which said, essentially, I would like to, well, get very up close and personal with Britt Eklund, right? Britt Eklund being the supermodel of the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, of course, and no one thought too much about it. It was printed and sold at the shows. And, of course, some young girls come home from the show. The parents have seen it and freaked out completely. And, of course, the language was a bit explicit, too.
Of course.
And absolutely freaked out, complained. You know, it was an uproar. And poor old Mark, who hadn't been in the band for very long, is just feeling this horrible sense of shame. It's like, I didn't even write it, you know. And I'm the target of all this venom. So one day they're on the tour bus, and Mark is hoping against hope that Bon's going to come clean and admit that he did it. And Bon pulls him aside and says, "Mate, we should have a talk." So they sat down. And Bon very, very seriously sat down and said, "Mark, we need to talk about the tour program and what was there." He said, "Mate, you have to understand, the girl has feelings too." And then he stood up and walked away.
Oh, my God. See, that's what I mean. No respect. Rock and rollers have no respect except to themselves. Well, not only them, I suppose, but anyway.
You know, but the big thing, Bon came out of that era of Aussie larrikin.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Shirley Strawn, you mentioned, I've written about Shirley. He was a larrikin.
Mm.
But also people like Paul Hogan and Strop, you know,
yep.
And Baz McKenzie and cricketers like Ian Chappell and Dennis Lilly, they were larrikins. They had no respect for authority. You know, they were funny. They were really outspoken. And they were really, really good at what they did.
Yep.
You know, and Bon certainly came out of that generation. And I don't think we have that anymore. That
well, we don't. It's too PC now. And, you know, people are so worried about what they're saying and how they're perceived that those entertainers of that era would not survive today.
That bond wouldn't last 5 minutes.
Yeah. No. Well, he just understood showmanship too, didn't he? And I mean,
absolutely.
And
absolutely.
How much it was important to have fun on stage.
Yeah, and it's very, you know, I think about when you compare him to other frontmen at the time, you know, both Australian and internationally, the one thing that separated him was that sense of humour.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Peter Garrett at Midnight Oil was a fantastic frontman, but he wasn't funny. He was very, very serious on stage.
Yep.
Whereas Bond, you know, there was a fair bit of showbiz in what he did. You know, he understood that and he really exploited it. And I think the combination that he had, the thing that he had going with Angus on stage was fantastic.
Mm. Exactly.
You know, he'd hoist him up on his shoulders and run through the audience. And it was just a lot of show. And it was great. It was exciting. You know, and I just think a lot of music is lacking that these days when it comes to, you know, actual, you know, razzmatazz on stage.
The thing I love about this book too, Jeff, is that it's a lot of time with Bond pre-ACDC, like with the Valentines and their Police run-ins. I mean, there's a band that, you know, has probably been hauled off to inside jail more than anyone in history, probably more than the Rolling Stones even.
The first Australian band to be arrested for marijuana possession. I think that was the most significant thing they did during their career.
I just love that he'd just rock up in the old short denim shorts with no shirt on, you know, for interviews and things, and care factor nil. I mean, that was just part of his sense of humour, wasn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. I don't think he owned a shirt, Bon, as far as I can tell.
Not that the women complained.
No.
Not that women could complain, that's absolutely right.
He had a fine
serious
belt. Didn't he? On his chest. Oh, honestly, I cannot wait to read this book in its entirety. I'm just loving reading the first part, the prologue.
Oh, good.
I mean, you had me at the dedication. This one's for me.
Well, actually, one of the early stories I tell is how I did an interview with Angus back in about 2000. Mm. And he said to me, you know, Bon used to swim with the sharks. Mm. And I thought he was speaking metaphorically, like, you know, Bond flew too close to the sun, he took big bites, yada, yada, yada. No, it turned out he used to work on a crayfishing boat, a Fremantle, and he used to just dive into the drink, you know, and swim amongst what I guess were white pointers. And mind you, white pointers resurfaced later in his career.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right. What a loose cannon. A hard man, lived it to the full, didn't he?
Yeah, but also a really loyal and good friend to a lot of people. You know, he wrote a lot of when he was on the road, he'd write home to people, really close to his parents. You know, he was a bit of a homebody in a weird kind of way. He was part rock and roll gypsy, part homebody, I think is the best way of describing it.
Incredible stuff.
Yeah, he was a prolific letter writer, wasn't he?
Hey, Jeff Apter, time's got us, but there's so many great stories in Bad Boy Boogie that's out this week. Get it where you can. I mean, it might be hard to get out to a bookshop if you're in lockdown, but you can order it online. And look, just thank you so much for just continuing to honour Australian rock and roll, mate. You're just a legend at it, man.
Oh, I'm very fortunate to be able to do it, I've got to tell you.
Thanks so much, Jeff Apter.
Get hold of the book, Bad Boy Boogie. If you want to know about Bon Scott pre-ACDC, there's a lot of legends, a lot of stories. Well, they're all in one easy-to-find volume, so get hold of it.